The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware that your hearts do not become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of daily life, and that day catch you by surprise like a trap. For that day will assault everyone who lives on the face of the earth. Be vigilant at all times, and pray that you have the strength to escape the tribulations that are imminent and to stand before the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord. Yeah, this Mass we celebrate this morning is the last in the liturgical year. And this is then, how we go out, as it were, going out with a bang here, okay? This is beginning the new liturgical year with Advent this evening, okay, with Vespers and the Vigil Mass and the like. This is the way that we're ending the year with the exhortation from Jesus here found in the 21st chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Beware that your hearts do not become drowsy. Okay, and why would they be drowsy from carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of daily life? Yeah, I think it's significant for us to look at that. Yeah, I don't want to look too closely at carousing and drunkenness. Okay, I'll allow you to have your own preconceived ideas on what carousing and drunkenness is. I really don't feel like getting into it this morning. But it's interesting to include in that same list the anxieties of daily life. Yeah, what are the anxieties of daily life? Yeah, you have to think a little bit about your own, right? You have to think a little bit about your own. And of course we're no stranger to the anxieties of daily life. Which is why this is, I think, a great exhortation for us. It's not to say that you're not going to have anxieties. I don't think we're not really looking at the psychological manual for anxiety here, like anxiety disorder or whatever it may be. It's just the sense of what is going on around you. But see how neutral I left that to say, like, what's going on around you and how you're processing it. Because that becomes part of the challenge, right? It's like how you're processing it, but the way that's quite neutral, but it becomes significant, decisive even, when we talk about what determines the way that we process the events of our life and the way that things are around us, the activities that we're engaged in and the like. It's all filtered through the perspective of what really matters to us, right? Because if you were to change, okay, like I have my focus on this particular thing, I'm engaged in this activity, I find that it's taking a lot of energy, attention, whatever. If you all of a sudden change your goals completely, the anxieties of this particular situation no longer hold, right? You're focused on something else. You're able to leave that behind, right? So the matter of not allowing our hearts to become drowsy by the anxieties of daily life, what does it mean? It means that we're called to have our hearts soberly focused on Jesus. Yeah, so it's not Jesus as like a Jesus is not our side hustle, right? It's not like we're doing this main thing. This is the problem I have with, say, most of the contemporary concept of quote unquote spirituality, right? Spirituality all too often is like the icing on the cake, which means that you have your cake, you've baked it, and the rest, and spirituality quote unquote is the thing that gives the cake sweetness, or something like the thin layer, the veneer, as it were, that gives your life sweetness. Okay, fine if we start there. But authentic spirituality seeks nothing less than the total reordering of our lives according to what it is we know is on offer in the scriptures, in the sacraments, in the person of Jesus himself. Right? He's not simply, so it's not simply a matter of, you know what, look, you have your life, we're not going to say anything about that, right? You're going to have your life and you've got the kind of churn of human endeavor and activity, you know, you're making money, you're doing things, whatever's going on, right? Things with you're raising a family, all these, you know, good and noble pursuits and whatever it may be, you know, say, well, we're not going to touch that. We're only going to come around to this. Just make sure that Jesus is a part of your life. Do you know? Like, yeah, okay, well, that's not the call. The call is that he wants everything, right? Jesus has to be our entire life. And we especially who have been called together by prayer and sacrament, be animated to live as members of his own body. Yeah, we have to give him everything. He's giving us everything. We have to give him everything, right? So Jesus is the ordering principle of our life. He changes everything. Everything has to be changed as it's brought into conformity to him. And then he is the animating principle of our life, right? In the sense that he gets us going. He's the one who gives us the nourishment, the strength that we need to live out faithfully to the call. Okay, so that changes the daily anxieties. I mean, to some extent, it actually say holds them off, where you say, if we are experiencing the anxieties of daily life, you know, how are we living to the call? Is God and his purposes our absolute number one priority? Yeah, so we could think, I mean, look, we might still find ourselves engaged in, again, quote unquote, the anxieties of daily life, even with God as our number one absolute priority. But I want you to do the work. You know, make sure that's the case. Make sure it's not that you're living for some other God with Jesus on the side, because that's not going to work. That is, in fact, the drunkenness against which Jesus is exhorting us, right? He wants us desperately to live soberly to God and his purposes. And when we do, right, when we do, we are ourselves participating in the life of the age to come, eternal life. Yeah, animated by God's own life of love, we are living for the age to come. And in fact, bringing it to bear here and now. Yeah, this is the work of the coming of the kingdom of God. And this then is what it means to be vigilant at all times. Okay, so our hearts are sober, we're focused on Christ Jesus, or we're allowing him to focus us on God and his purposes. And then we're vigilant at all times to escape the tribulations that are imminent. Of course, he's talking about a particular historical event or a series of events, but the exhortation still applies to us. To escape the tribulations that are imminent, in the sense of to be clear-sighted about what is going on around us, and to stand before the Son of Man. So here, Jesus, the judge of all, right? The Son of Man is this figure of judgment. It's Jesus himself. He's putting us to rights, and he's putting the world to rights. He's putting us to rights so that we will be part of his plan to put the world to rights, but he's doing this putting to rights this thing in a cosmic sense, right? In a global sense, and he's calling us to be part of that. We have to be have the strength to stand before the Son of Man, to be vigilant at all times. So it means that, you know, we have this sense, okay, Jesus is putting the world to rights. We have to be vigilant for the opportunities that come our way to be part of the putting to rights of the world. Yeah, so this, and I think, and I could get into what this all means communally, say, familially, communally, nationally, globally, what, right? We could do that work. I think we should not do that work, because we don't necessarily have time for it this morning. So, no, My dad is here, so it's just in honor of my father. I won't give the 30-minute homily this morning, but just the sense of, okay, we as a Christian people have to do the work of what it looks like, the putting to rights of the world through every human endeavor and activity. But we ourselves need, before that, we need to be desperate to be put to rights ourselves. Yeah? We have to be desperate for the judgment of God in our lives, ourselves. And the judgment, not again in a kind of hellfire, brimstone, whatever. It's judgment in the sense of, we want to be put to rights. We're desperate for that. We want to live fully flourishing human lives. And that means that we can't be distracted by all these other things. We have to focus our hearts on God and His purposes. And the more we do, the more we bring forth the fruit of that flourishing life, the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, generosity, faithfulness, and self-control. Yeah, but think about that list and how many of them I'm like, I'm not exactly hitting that one, am I? Do you know, like, okay, well, it's a matter of love, because they're all the fruit of charity, right? It's, okay, so show me, Lord, where I need to love more. Give me the strength to see it through. This is the vigilance that we need to have the strength to stand before the Son of Man. And so we will, with great joy and anticipation.